This is the B-Team Podcast, a daily recap of what you missed this morning on Mississippi Superstar Country Kicks 96,
a Boswell Media station.
Join us here for behind-the-scenes information, exclusive show content, and more. Listen live at kicks96news.com.
To become a sponsor, appear as a guest on the show, or for more information, contact them at btpodcastms@gmail.com.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Brian Bemo Montgomery.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Rick Riley.
Don't everybody thank me at once.
This is the B-Team Podcast.
The B-Team Podcast.
We're here.
It's the B-Team Podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in today. If it's your first time, welcome aboard. If it's not, well, you know what you're in store for. The B-Team Podcast is a rebroadcast of some of the things that you got to hear this morning on Mississippi Superstar Country. Kicks 96, you're home for BMO in the morning. As always, the man to my right, he who is Brother Brack. Did you have a good Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Friday night went well at the Guitar Academy.
It did. My new system came in. I was expecting it to come in until today.
Yeah.
I got home Friday, and it was on my porch. So I took that and used it for the Guitar Academy, and it worked fantastic. Like, great. And it was more than loud enough for the Guitar Academy.
So now, did you pass out any candy nice on Sunday or Saturday night?
Yeah, we had a few people stop by.
Yeah.
You know, we had the music going, so somebody was like, Greg, I think you got some trick-or-treaters. Like, well, give them some candy. Because I was in the kitchen doing things.
Yeah.
Imbibing. And I was like, well, give them some candy. Yeah, I didn't have many, but there, had some stop by.
Right on. Well, according to the survey, over 2,000 parents with children between the ages of 3 and 15, two-thirds have stolen candy from their kids this Halloween season.
Duh.
Usually the haul isn't just one or two pieces either. The average person surveyed said they take a full third of their kids' Halloween candy.
Well, kids aren't going to eat all of it.
Oh, no contraire, mon frere. 4 out of 5 kids will eat their Halloween candy this week. New survey shows that 81% of kids end up eating their candy. Are you ready for this? Within the first week. And 1 in 4 won't even make it till tomorrow. And for those 1 in 4 that won't make it till tomorrow, guaranteed doctor visits
for bad bogus. I heard like how long you can like keep Halloween candy. For chocolate, it's like 6 months or something. And for like fruity stuff, it's like a year almost, like Starburst and stuff like that. And Skittles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it said. It'll still be good enough to eat after that long. He's going to wait that long.
Not my kids, at least not when they were little. Coming up on today's B-Team Podcast, the worst place you could possibly be during a zombie apocalypse. We're going to talk about the NFL and college football action. A little high school action as far as the local scene is concerned with Kosciuszko and Leak Academy getting ready for a big week of playoffs. All that and more on this Monday, November 1st, which means birthdays, because I can't ever imagine a day in the year that somebody didn't have one. Celebrating a birthday today, former playmate and actress Jenny McCarthy, you'll also find her on The Masked Singer, turned 49 today, looking amazing. Golf legend Gary Player turns 86. Music producer David Foster turns 79. Rick Allen of Def Leppard turns 58 today. American Idol Bo Bryce, there's a blast from the past, turns 46. Country icon Bill Anderson is 84. And, oh, wow, one of my favorite songs from the 90s, Miss Sophie B. Hawkins is 57. Taking a look at the box office report, Dune topped the box office for the second straight week despite being Halloween weekend. Halloween Kills comes in at $8.5 million, but Dune takes the top spot at $15.5 million. The latest James Bond movie, $7.8 million. And Venom, Let There Be Carnage, rounds out the top spots with $5.8 million. When the B-Team Podcast continues, we'll tell you the worst possible places in the United States to be during a zombie apocalypse. We'll have our Text and Tones topic question of the day and more right here on the B-Team Podcast.
This is the B-Team Podcast, sponsored by Mammoth Power Company. The official workout gear of the B-Team Podcast. Lead from the front.
Get your shit in and go to work.
Get your gear at mammothpowercompany.com.
It's the B-Team Podcast, yours truly, reminding you that, yes, thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, it's a rebroadcast of some of the things that you hear on Mississippi Superstar Country Kicks 96. Brother Breck hanging with us, and it's going to be a short week for us from a standpoint that this coming Thursday, I'll be undergoing a procedure. I will be out this Thursday, Friday, all of next week, and we'll be back on Monday, so we'll be running a best of during that time. But the month of November is going to be tough for me, and I lean on my people in tough times because it's going to be crazy. I mean, you know me. I love to eat. Doctor has put in place a diet restriction. I need to lose some weight. So how are we going to do this? I'm going to need you to keep me away from burgers and all that other stuff. You do some intermittent fasting. You're going to have to explain all that.
I did. And they're football season. I eat when I can for football season. It's usually only one meal a day.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking I'm going to call this BDS, Breck Diet Stuff. So I need to know, how do you do what you do?
First thing you got to do is get rid of those.
Yeah. The soda's going to suck, dude. My thing is this, because like you, I eat on the go. And when I eat, I usually will just go grab something to come back, and then I'm sitting on my ass, you know, and then that's how this all comes on. When I moved here in October of last year, I weighed 238 pounds. And it was funny because I was going through some old stuff, and I actually found a visit to the doctor paperwork. Weight 238 in October. I weigh 281 now, bro.
Mississippi food, man.
But when you do this intermittent fasting stuff, when you were doing it, how does that work? I mean, is it...
You just don't eat.
Just don't eat?
Yeah. Between 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock the next morning, don't eat.
Now,
you have water, or like unsweet tea or coffee, something that doesn't have calories in it.
Right.
And so, I mean, I drink black coffee during...
That's
why I don't eat breakfast, just because, I mean, black coffee usually, it counts. Yeah. It fills me up. I mean, however you feel about coffee on an empty stomach. But,
oh, no.
That doesn't bother me.
I have to do something, but, man, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm not not looking forward to this at all.
Yeah, that's what I did. That said, when I had, and I had a normal schedule, and I don't have a normal schedule from August to December, so I just eat when I can.
What healthy alternatives? I mean, because I told him, I said, forget Thanksgiving, because I'm going to eat. I'm sorry. I have to eat. So I'm just keep telling myself, come Thanksgiving, I can have my 2 days, and then I got to go back. But I am not looking forward to this. He told me, he goes, you're about 40 pounds overweight. And I went, I don't know how the hell I'm going to fix this. And then with the Halloween candy, that ain't helping matters any.
Grilled chicken and brown rice.
Really?
Wow.
Those are go-tos?
Brown rice tastes like packing peanuts. That crap is terrible, man. It's so bad.
I've considered going to those pre-made meals.
Oh, like the Nutrisystem or something?
Well, that was like a meal plan where they just send you meals.
Yeah,
but. I don't know.
Expensive.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, and you know, it's like I've had different people tell me, well, you know, make your meals on Sunday and then plan for the week.
You used to do that.
I when you were doing it, remember how you did it? Because I have no clue, dude.
Just a grilled chicken and brown rice in a little box, and you put it in a little thing and put it in the refrigerator, and then. Just pull it out and eat it when it's time. It sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks bad.
Yeah, they told me I'm going to have to be doing some physical therapy and walking. And the nice part about that is the square's right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how long that is as far as, you know, doing a full square, but got to do something. I am not looking forward to it. I'm just, no. Especially at this time of year, too, because when it gets cold, you know, that's when I usually eat the most, and I don't know, man. I'm just not happy with this. For what it's worth, I did find this out. if there were ever a zombie apocalypse, New York is the worst place to be for one.
Duh.
I would think D.C. would be, but no.
Any populated area.
Yeah. 12.7 million bodies buried in over their 9,730 cemeteries would be more zombies in the streets of New York than anywhere else. Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Connecticut were also ranked 2nd, 10th, 12th, and 29th as the worst place to live in a zombie apocalypse. The best place to avoid the undead is Alaska, followed by Wyoming, Nevada.
Yeah, so it's like Montana or somewhere like that.
Hawaii and Delaware.
Where there's nobody at. Like, yeah. Nobody lives there.
I say this. I am excited and happy to be here in the state of Mississippi. God forbid there's ever a zombie apocalypse. Why? Because you know why.
You got guns everywhere, man.
I mean, there. I bet you somewhere there are people who are like, oh, we've been waiting on this.
Oh, God, yeah. We got guns like crazy, man. Everybody's got a gun.
And it's funny because the kids were at the hunt this past weekend, and we were talking about that, and they said, if you were in a zombie apocalypse, where would you go first? And I was thinking to myself, you'd have to stay local because of supplies, ammunition, and things of that nature to get why you could. Yeah. But I don't know. My daughter's like, I'd find a mall.
I'll go anywhere. I'll let everybody else go out there and kill each other first.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just kind of
wait it out?
Mm-hmm. Because everybody else is going to have the same idea. Oh, I'm going to go to a Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah.
And everybody else is going to be there, too. And there's going to be big fights. They're going to get killed.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay inside and come out and take the guns off of all the dead bodies.
Well, I was thinking it'd be cool to have a weapon that you didn't really need to reload. So if you can find like a sword.
Well, I have an axe.
Oh, that's true.
I have like about 2-3 axes.
I was going to say, you're...
And a sledgehammer.
I was going to say, you're about ready for wood chopping season.
I got 2 machetes.
Yeah.
I got plenty of stuff. All I need is a bow and arrow.
That would be dope.
I'm not very good with the bow and arrow, but it'd be good to have one.
Yeah, well, at least you're dead shot with the because I see the side piece.
Oh yeah,
he's ready to rock and roll.
Pretty good with the sidearm.
Mm-hmm. You'll be here all day. We invite you to get over to bteampodcast.com. Of course, there we have some social media questions for you. Today we had a couple of good ones. What took you an embarrassing amount of time to figure out? Some of the answers included how ring binders work.
It's kind of self-explanatory, right?
The person said, I thought you had to take out the pages to add a new page to the back of the binder, which annoyed me because in school it took me a while having to realign all the pages to fit the holes in the binders.
Oh, I got you. Rather than just like flip to the page you needed and put it in. Oh, okay.
Right.
Genius there.
The black market isn't actually a market.
That lady that complains about the deer crossing sign.
Yes.
Ever heard that? Where she calls in and she's like, well, I don't know why the deer are crossing here. They should move it somewhere else. I'm like, sorry, sweetie.
Coming in, the best answer as to what took you the most embarrassing amount of time to figure out. I'm 54 and I still can't understand women.
There you go.
This is a good question right here, especially with me having to do all this dieting stuff. What pisses you off when you're eating? People who blow their nose at a table. Don't blow your nose at a table when you're eating.
I don't know. Nothing much gets on my nerves when I'm eating because I'm eating.
Well,
people want to talk too much.
Yeah. Phone calls. Cannot stand phone calls. Don't. Just turn your phone off. You can call him back. Oh, and here's a really good one. What movie made you cry? Some of the answers we got so far include The Notebook, Up, A Silent Voice, which I still haven't seen, Schindler's List, and The Green Mile.
Mine was Land Before Time, Littlefoot's Mama Died.
Yeah.
It was sad.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi, because I was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 when I saw it. And I was sad because Darth Vader died because he's a good guy now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, those are 2 I remember off the top of my head.
For me, it would be it would be Friday the 13th, Part 10. That movie made me cry a lot. Because I actually spent money to see it.
Jason X. Rudy.
Oh,
that everybody, everybody knows Rudy. The Jersey scene.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. Rocky III when Apollo Creed died. I got a little emotional. Wasn't bawling, but I got kind of teared up. I did. I kind of got teared up. And then in, was it Rocky Balboa when they said Talia Shire's character of Adrian died.
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed because he was a totally different kind of cat. You know, I'm curious. Did she just not want the role or he just wanted to move on from her?
Yeah, I think she just didn't want to come back.
Wow.
Same thing with like Carl Weathers. Apparently, Carl Weathers wouldn't let him use the footage of their fight. So they had to like redo it with a body double.
Really?
Yeah. From like, I guess from Rocky III or from one of the Rockies. It's not, if you watch it, or I guess it was any of the former ones that he wanted to use.
Right.
He had to use like a body double or something.
Really?
So, yeah.
As much as I know about Rocky Balboa, I did not know that.
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm.
It was interesting.
Yeah, I also got emotional when Mick died. Mick's that. Yeah. That was the movie that we all found out Sylvester Stallone can't cry. Mick! Mick! That was it. That's all you got. I'm like, this man has trained you up, and you're not even crying. What the hell's wrong with you, Rock?
I'm no trainer, but knock this guy's teeth out.
Pauly.
Defense.
Hit the one in the middle. sound pieces of advice.
No, I mean, it's not wrong.
No.
You know?
No.
Not necessarily anything that's going to help you, but, you know, it's not wrong.
Yeah, hit the one in the middle.
Ow,
there you go. It's the B-Team Podcast. It's the B-Team Podcast, and we thank you so much for tuning in today. If you've been with us from day one, man, are you a glutton for punishment, and we love you to death. But I'm not a very happy camper today. I'm not going to lie. Bucks, Saints, Brady, all I can say is I am not a happy camper. And when you throw a pick six to lose to the Saints, who Brady's never beaten in regular season play, it gets a little frustrating. Because I thought we were coming back. Then we get to have this happen.
Second and 10. They bring it. It's picked up, giving Brady time, and he's intercepted. P.J. Williams still going all the way. He's in. Touchdown, New Orleans.
Yeah, whatever. I was not happy at all. I mean, because he's never beaten the Saints in regular season as a Buccaneer. I mean, yes, we beat them in the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl, which we won. But regular season play is 0-3 right now. And here's the crappy thing about it. I was expecting us to come out and dominate. I mean, this is Jameis Winston we're playing. We knock him out. I think we've got it. Nope, we wind up losing the game. And then Brady does his best Jameis Winston impression by throwing that pick six to wrap up the game. And then he doesn't help matters any with the press conference.
Yep, tough game. Good team. But we didn't obviously play the way we're capable. And I got to play better. So tough loss.
That's it? You are the defending Super Bowl champion. You got a New Orleans Saints team who's got a great defense. But you're the greatest of all time. Jameis goes down, and we still lose. I'm not happy.
Well, that's like, didn't the Saints beat the Bucks both games last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they won the Super Bowl, so
yeah, big deal. Brady has not beaten the Saints as a Buccaneers starting quarterback. Seems a little PO'd yesterday, as he should have. I'd have been a lot angrier than he was.
Well, the Cowboys won, even though Dak didn't play last night.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, he's still nursing that right calf thing.
They could have played, just that they didn't. They were going to accept the loss if they needed to, but they didn't end up winning. So,
you know, speaking of football, getting ready for a very busy weekend, or Thursday and Friday night, I should say, of football action. Make sure you get over to KX96News.com. Kosciuszko, the Whippets, traveled to
Caledonia,
and then League Academy I believe they're home this week.
Yeah, they're home for the whole playoffs as long as they're the one seed. So
yeah,
they are home for the duration.
Yeah, so get over to KX96News.com for all the details on that. BreezyNews.com for information on your Whippets. The man you want, though, when it comes to League Academy Rebel football is joining me now, Philip Palmertree. And let's talk about the season that has been for the Rebels, because only lost once, correct?
Correct. Loss in week two to 6A team, a very good Jackson Academy team.
So coming into the playoffs, we're talking home field advantage throughout.
Yes. Quarterfinals start this week, semifinals next week. So those two games will be at Thacker Field in Madden.
Now, do we know who we're looking at yet as far as an opponent? Because I know we were trying to tie up loose ends this past weekend as to who would be facing the Rebels. So who are we going to be taking on this week?
The Rebels will be taking on number 9 seed Pillow Academy, boys from Greenwood.
Now, what do we know about the team from Pillow?
Pillow has had a bit of a substandard year for them. They usually are, you know, among the elites, and they're having, I think they've lost 4 or 5 games. It's not coming straight to my mind, but they had an impressive win in the Friday night first round games. They went down to Central Hines and came from behind. They were 2 scores down in the second half, came back and won at 34-30. So no doubt they're going to be feeling a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it was funny this past Friday night doing PA work for, you know, the Whippets here. Same scenario, and we lose by 3 with Will Carter missing a 54-yard field goal by just a few yards. I was thinking to myself, if that kid had been at 50, it had gone through. It would have gone through. Powerhouse as far as kickers are concerned out at Leak. I was talking to Breck about him. What do you see the Rebels doing as far as their matchup against Pillow? And, I mean, honestly, is anyone going to stop them?
Well, they're the number 1 seed, and it's hard to see anybody derailing them, at least on the path to the championship. I mean, when you get down to one game, you never know what's going to happen, and you know you're going to play a team that's playing its best. But Leak's in a very good position. The two teams that I think present the greatest challenge in preparation for Leak are on the other side of the bracket.
Right.
And you wouldn't see either one of those teams. And I'm talking about Oak Forest from down in Louisiana and Heritage from Columbus, who the Rebels played 3 weeks ago and beat
right. In
a just great shootout game. They do, each one of those teams does something a little bit distinctive and hard to prepare for. So you'll only see one of those teams if you survive in advance. The Rebels are well set up. That big offensive line and big defensive line are going to be really hard for anybody to handle.
Yeah, I just look at that. I mean, because that's honestly where everything starts, is your O and your D line. And they're stacked. I mean, stacked. I'm just sitting here saying to myself, could be another championship year.
Yeah, and this is the time when some of the nicks and bruises and injuries that happened during the year can come back and really hurt you. And the Rebels have lost an excellent left tackle. They've lost a defensive lineman for the year. But you got to credit those young men who've stepped in, stepped up. And if anything, it has helped the Rebels that those injuries happened about a month ago. And so those next man up, those guys have gotten the reps. They've had the game experience. And I think they're feeling good about how they're playing as a unit.
Now, of course, Philip, you're being the voice of the Rebels this year, taking over for Melvin. Last regular season game, got to have the man back in the booth. Do we know who we're going to have as far as color? Because with Gilbert, God bless him, and everything that he's going through, do we know who's going to be in the booth with you this weekend?
And I could say this in all sincerity, it is still a mystery. The wheel is still spinning. In all seriousness, the arrangement that I have with Gilbert is that I check in with him late Tuesday, early Wednesday, and if all the lights are green for him, he's the guy, and then I've got some backups. It is sort of like, again, a depth chart issue on the football team.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've definitely got a strong number two.
Yeah.
Who has been a number one for the most part. The people that you've worked with this year, tell me a little bit about them and what they've meant to your broadcast, because it's got to be a big help.
It has been, and it has been fun for me as far as just actually doing the games. Breck Riley, who I worked with 7 years side-by-side on Kosciuszko Whippet broadcast. Of course, we just switched chairs and responsibilities. He worked with me the first 3 weeks. Three home games. Jason Wilcox has worked with me, and Jason has coached at Leak. He's got his kids at Leak. He used to do radio 20 years ago. He even did Leak Academy football about 20 years ago. So nobody knows the school, the players, the tradition as well as Jason. Jason's just got a job that is sometimes unpredictable with his schedule, so sometimes he's available and sometimes he's not. And then I've worked two games with a young man just a couple of years out of college who lives in Hattiesburg named Ben Milam. Mm-hmm. And Ben is the voice of William Carey University volleyball and soccer. And he's trying to get into the broadcast business, so he's eager to take opportunities. And Ben has a great voice. He's very well prepared. He's going to be a great play-by-play guy for somebody in the very near future. And he also helps out on the USM football broadcast, Southern Miss broadcast. So it's been a nice mix of a lot of different kind of people I knew and people I didn't know.
Yeah, I was so excited when I got here this time last year with regards to just how big, you know, football was here in the area, and not knowing, and then seeing it, and then not only seeing that, but of course around the corner we've got you know us, Leak Academy Rebel Basketball. No plans yet with regards to if they'll need me, you know, with the Whippets just yet. Next surgery this Thursday, but if we need to open up the Boswell Media, pregame show, I'll be back for another run with Prince and the Revolution if you need me.
Good deal.
All right. It's the B-Team Podcast.
If you see BMO smiling, yeah, he's probably thinking of doing something bad. If he's laughing, he probably already has. BMO in the morning, weekdays on Mississippi's Superstar Country. Kicks 96. This is the B-Team Podcast, sponsored by Mammoth Power Company. The official workout gear of the B-Team Podcast. Lead from the front.
Get your shit in and go to work.
Get your gear at mammothpowercompany.com.
It's the B-Team Podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. We always love the feedback when we get it. You can contact us through the information that's listed on the description of every podcast. Of course, the B-Team Podcast is a rebroadcast of some of the things that you get to hear if you tune in weekday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. on WCKK-FM in Mississippi. It is Mississippi Superstar Country Kicks 96. And you can listen live. Just go to kicks96news.com, click that, tune in. And that is where our text and tone topic questions of the day usually will get answered. And it always cracks me up because when we're putting these things together, we try to make them relevant with regards to, you know, normal everyday type questions. But some of them, oh my goodness, some of them you just shake your head at. I think one of the things we get asked most or first about our job is, do you get to hang out with celebrities? And it's not always true. Hell, when you've been doing this for 20 years, you get to meet a lot of people. But I'd like to flip the script a little bit, if I could, and ask you, what is the first question people ask you about your job? 601-389-1967. What is the first question people ask you about your job?
So I am a deputy sheriff with a local law enforcement agency.
Thank you for
what
you do.
And the first question that everyone asks is, how many bullets do I have in my gun, or do I have just one like Barney Fife?
Well, I'm sure you have more than that.
It's either that or can I get tased by you?
Now, I don't want to know the idiot that would ask that question, but that would make one hell of a pickup line in a bar. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you take me back to your place and tase me? Hi, good morning, Kix 96. What's the first question people ask you about your job?
I'm a funeral director apprentice.
Oh, boy.
And most people tend to ask about the butt plugs.
What?
Butt plugs? They are a thing to stop leakage, if you will.
Oh, God. Damn, Brother Brecken, you thought you had a crappy job. And after that, I don't know if I want to ask any more questions from anybody. What is the first question people ask you about your job? I was talking about, do we meet anyone famous, and do we have concert tickets?
You get to listen to the radio all day. You get to listen to music all day, don't you?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, I wish I could listen to music all day.
Yeah, me too. That's it right there. That's the one. Do you just listen to music all day long? Do you just leave when your show's done? That one too. Do you just leave?
Yeah.
You just leave.
You only work 4 hours a day.
You just leave when your show's done, right?
Not in this lifetime.
I work longer than you.
Yeah. Time now to do a little thing we call Things We Learned Today. And the first thing that we learned is never to ask anyone what their first question they get asked at work is, because after the whole butt plug thing, I'm officially never going to ask anyone about any of their jobs. We learned that there was a possession yesterday on Halloween as quarterback Tom Brady was possessed by the spirit of Jameis Winston prior to being injured, as he threw a pick six yesterday, reminding Buccaneer fans of the quarterback Jameis was when he was with the Bucs. Yeah. Before we go today, something that we wish we hadn't learned, a friend of the show's passed away, and one of the sweetest ladies I ever had the opportunity to meet, big Sawyer Brown fan, and want to say a special hello to Bree, her children, and her brother as well, as Miss Mama, Linda Burchette, passed away over the weekend, and there is a GoFundMe page with a link that you can find in the description of the episode. God bless her. We love you. We miss you, and you're always in our thoughts and prayers. On that note, say goodbye, Brother Breck.
Goodbye, Brother Breck.
If you see BMO smiling, yeah, he's probably thinking of doing something bad. If he's laughing, he probably already has. BMO in the morning, weekdays on Mississippi Superstar Country, Kix 96.